And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. That's my calling card. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. But it's good to always be back home. Amen. This is a home away from home for Shelley and I. Matter of fact, honey, would you please stand? I want them to see the better looking. Amen. 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 When a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Amen. And I got the best thing you ever had. Amen. 44 years, matter of fact, and what day is today? What day is today? The third? The fourth? The fourth? Okay, we got 8 more days when I celebrate our 44th anniversary. Amen. I think I'll remember, okay? Amen. But, Pastor alluded to that we had been with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry before God put us into this position in 1998. One of the reasons why is we went to Lithuania to help train nationals to work in the prisons in Lithuania. And we were there, and then we came back to Columbia, South Carolina to do a crash course in Russian, to learn the Russian language and go back to Lithuania. And we had completed the course. We were ready to go. We had our tickets and ready to go back to Vilnius, Lithuania. And Shelley felt very discomforted. And so we went to the doctor, and she had things checked out and discovered that she had the fastest growing cancerous tumor anyone could have. And they didn't give her much chance. But God, amen. And so that kind of just changed everything. Through the surgery, through removal of the tumor, and then also all the chemo treatment and recovery, it took about a year just to get her on the feet, and still not knowing whether she'd be cancer-free. But we celebrated 4 years ago. We went into the oncology unit, and they looked at her, and they said, we just shook their heads and said, we don't understand why you're here, but we cannot find cancer anymore. Praise God. Amen. But in that interim period, our church, our sending church in Liberty Baptist Tabernacle, Rapid City, had started a printing ministry. And unbeknownst to us, at the same time, there was a fellow that was heading that up or beginning to, and he came down with cancer, and God took him home early. And there was a void for about 6 months to a year during that time frame. God got a hold of my heart. We must get the gospel into the hands of so many people all over the world. And one of the things that we found out very quickly, we went to the third world, the greatest need that missionaries have next to their support, and sometimes it's even the opposite side, they're willing to even sacrifice, is to get the printed word of God in their hands so they can hand it to people that they could get saved. Amen? And we purposed in our heart that God convicted my heart to do that, and I've been involved with it ever since. And God heads up our ministry. I just have a little title that says director, but that doesn't mean anything. It's God that does it, and it's miraculous. We have printed millions, literally millions and millions of John and Roman booklets and languages all over the world. And we, as I mentioned to Pastor during dinner tonight, that what we're striving to do is reach the unreached. We're identifying group language groups all over the world that have never had the printed word of God in their own language before. And that's what we're doing. And matter of fact, we just finished up over a million to Luzon. Anybody familiar with the Luzon area of the Philippines? Anybody familiar with that? It's in the northern part of the Philippines. Never had the word of God printed in their language, in the Ilocano language, and we were able to do it. And it took us a while, but we got over a million in that country. And we're now starting to hear revival, new churches being established all over northern Luzon, in the jungle areas, in the northern, very primitive areas. But God is blessed. I was over 3 weeks preaching meetings, and distributed about 10,000 of the booklets, and they went in about 15 to 20 minutes. And they just didn't pick them up, but they distributed them and started leading people to Christ right around where the meetings were going on. They're so hungry for the Word of God. And as the preacher and I were talking about, we're going to areas that people are still hungry for the Word of God. Amen. And we want to do that in a major way. We're printing for the country of Malawi. It'll be coming up beginning in January after we finish Papua New Guinea. And the country has never had the Word of God in their native language. We are being able to translate it, and we're doing the setups now for the printing of that project. And it's continued all the way through. How many of you fellows served during Vietnam or served in Nam? Anybody here? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. God's starting to open the door to Saigon, and we have an opportunity possibly to get into Hanoi. Unbelievable how God has opened up doors for us to do those things. So be in prayer for us concerning the printing ministry of Lighthouse Baptist Press. I'd like you to turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians. I thought that for a moment he was going to steal text here during the testimony. And by the way, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate the testimony of both these dear brothers. And stewardship changed my life. Stewardship is part of me. Stewardship Conference. Understanding what it means to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not about money, folks. It's about your heart. Amen? It's not about money, but it's your heart. And I can't go in a long detail about what God has done in my life. You'd be here all night concerning stewardship. But I will tell you this, it's close to God. Amen? It's close to God's heart. And I would like you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And because we've already eaten, and everybody is about ready to go to sleep, and then that's when Pastor Dameron says, well, you're going to preach right after we eat. And I says, that's not fair. Amen? I'm going to ask you, you're all comfortable now, I'm going to ask you to stand and read it in reading of God's Word. Amen? Carlos, how are you looking at me? Amen? You got us. Amen. But look at what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power, and I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And then it says in verse 5, and this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves. Isn't that what it's all about? Amen, Furs. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what it's all about. It says right here, and first gave their own selves to the Lord unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so we would also finish in you the same grace also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, I'm asking, dear God, that you would settle on our hearts tonight, that you would speak to us. And Lord, we'll just give you the praise and the honor for it, Lord. I pray, Lord, that decisions have already been made, Lord, to give, even given above the tithe, which already belongs to you. As Brother Dave shared so clearly. But Lord, Heavenly Father, if there's one here that this is all brand new, I'd pray that they would understand that God wants their heart. He wants you. That's what you're saying, God. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would take it to heart and we'd understand the truth of your word concerning this matter of giving. And we'll give you the praise and the honor for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. I've preached all over the country on giving in various subjects, various messages, but this will be a brief message. I won't keep you long. But there's some interesting thoughts here I've recorded. Did you know that the Bible mentions the word pray or prayer 289 times in the Bible? Now, I remember when I came to Bible college, one of the first books I bought was a book on prayer by John R. Rice. I devoured that. I wanted to pray. I wanted to be prayed up. And certainly other books that have come to pass, Ian Bounds and others that have come to pass, read those books religiously, understanding what prayer was all about. And it's so important, as the Bible mentions again, 289 times. The word love is mentioned 383 times. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We're to love our brother, amen? Matter of fact, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, amen? But interesting enough, the word give or giving is mentioned 1,043 times. Quite a difference, isn't it? Where the emphasis is, huh? God so loved the world, he gave, didn't he? He gave. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And then it turns right around, his only begotten Son gave his life for you and me. Amen? We have an interesting thought here. And look, you look in your text, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 again. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What was he talking about? Giving? 1972, September 17th, 42 years ago, almost to this date, I was in Seattle, Washington, sitting amongst 14,000 people at the Seattle Center Coliseum. Been working with Westin Hotels during that time. And a man asked me, and I don't want to get into a long dissertation on this area, but a man asked me to go to this meeting. It wasn't a Baptist meeting, it was I won't name names, but it was a meeting of talking about family relationships and things like that, and based on the Bible. And my wife Shelley asked me if I would go, and I told her I wouldn't go. I wasn't saved, but she asked, and then I met a friend, a business friend, who said he was going, and I said, "Whoops!" And I says, "Okay, I'll go," but I didn't tell him that I didn't want to go. Didn't realize he was a born-again Christian. And I went to Seattle Center Coliseum, and I sat amongst 14,000 people, and it was a meeting that lasted from Monday to Friday. On Thursday night, I was sitting on the other side of the Coliseum, and I didn't even want to look at my wife or my friend and his wife again as long as I lived. I was so mad at them. I was under conviction. And God got a hold of my heart September 17th, 1972, sitting amongst 14,000 people. And he shared a clear plan of salvation. First time I'd ever heard it. As a testimony years ago, shared with you that I would have split hell wide open 4 years prior to that, Walter Reed Army Hospital, I'd been injured. I did not know Christ, but that night God opened my heart and received Christ as my Savior. And the very first words out of my mouth were, I couldn't tell you where the New Testament, Old Testament was. I didn't know who Matthew is, other than I had a son named Matthew. Amen. But I got a hold of God that night. I cried out to God and I said, whatever you say goes from now on. No questions, no hesitation. If you said it, that settles it. Amen. And I've been living that life ever since. And Mr. Ramrod, a little bit further, making those commitments. I've already been touching on this with the college. They've already been, I think they've been browbeated with Galatians 2:20. But that is experiencing a Galatians 2:20 life. Look what it says here in Galatians 2:20. Look what it says here. It says in Galatians 2:20, and many of you probably have memorized it. But in Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Galatians 2:20 life, it's a crucified life. I am crucified. It's a Christ life light. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, in which is ye, in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? It's a changed life, a life which is now, that I now live in the flesh. Speaks of the sanctified life, a separated unto God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. It's a controlled life. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean on to understand in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And it is a confident life. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Now you go back to our text. Therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. According to this text, now listen to me, according to what God says in this text, giving is equal to faith. Giving is equal to preaching his word, proclaiming his word. Giving is equal to the knowledge of God. Giving is equal to the diligence. Giving is equal to love. Amen. What does he say right there? Therefore, as you abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Giving. 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 Not taking, but giving. Amen? Giving. 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 God so loved the world, he gave. Tom Furze is not alive today. Christ is, amen. And the only thing that lives in me is Christ, amen. And Christ gave, amen. And we're to do the same thing, because the only thing that controls you, if you're in the power of God, is Christ. Not you. It doesn't belong to you. Your life doesn't belong to you anymore. You've been bought with a price, amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. I'm sorry, but I'm a prison preacher. I won't mamby-pamby around this subject at all, amen? God's got a hold of my heart, and I want God to have preeminence in it, not only in my heart, but in your heart as well. Look what it says right here in Luke chapter 6. I'm going to be speeding up here. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall all men give unto their bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. When God called us into the mission field, after pastoring, Our first meeting was in Jacksonville, Florida. We didn't have a dime to our name. And I remember us driving all the way cross country from Wyoming, where I'd pastored, to Jacksonville, Florida, to a missions conference, a revival missions conference. And while we were there, I got a phone call from Dr. Wayne Williams, my pastor in Rapid City, South Dakota, Liberty Baptist Tabernacle. And he says, Brother Tom, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, Brother Tom, are you where I can talk to you? And he says, yeah, I'm right here in this office, church office. We were standing in a prophet's chamber. And he said, I asked him, I said, is there anything wrong? Anything wrong? And he says, no. But there's a man in our church that came, and he's only going to be here for six weeks to 2 months, I guess it was. And he liked what we were going to do, to go into the mission field. And he said these words. He said, my wife and I prayed about it, and they brought in and handed Dr. Williams a check for $5,000. He says, I want Brother Furz and his wife on the missions field as fast as possible. Would you give it to him? And I'm, lo and behold, I just glorified praising God and everything else. And he said, well, let's set this thing up, Brother Furz. We can program this. We'll set it up and we'll just do $500 a month. Then we'll set it in a savings account and you can draw $500 every month. And that way it'll at least carry you through for expenses to the next meetings as you raise your support. That sounded all good. I said, boy, that makes a lot of sense. And so that's what we set up. The very next night, there were missionaries giving their testimonies. We're raising support themselves at this conference. And we looked, and Shelly and I looked at each other, man, these people are a whole lot worse than we are. We raised our hands and says, well, we ended up giving $2,000 out of that $5,000. I called Brother Williams up and I said, Brother Williams, send a check for $2,000. He said, but Tom, didn't we agree? I said, no, just send it. God's touched us. We need to do that. We did that. The next night, another missionary got up and our hearts were broken for them. Raised our hands and made a commitment for $2,000. In a period of 48 hours, we had given away 4,000 of the 5,000 that we got. I'm not bragging, folks. I'm bragging on God. You can't outgive God. Giving strengthens your faith. Amen. Given and shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For when with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I learned a long time ago that Tom Furz, Shelly Furz, we need to be just funnels. You give, we give. You give, we give. You give, we give. Less than 8 months, we were completely supported and on the mission field. Unheard of. Why? You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? We have given thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of John and Roman booklets from the entire world for free. We even pay for the shipping, amen? And we just keep giving it and God keeps giving it back to us. Giving is an investment for eternity. Giving brings all kinds of blessings to a person's life. And I will tell you this, in our own situation, My mom and dad, Shelley's mom and dad, thought we were in a cult. They thought we were nuts. They thought I was absolutely insane for leaving the position that I left with Weston Hotels. But it's interesting. It's interesting as they saw what we were doing. We were giving and giving and giving. And they'd say, how in the world are you doing that? And they just shook their heads. But by the way, as they started seeing God pour blessings upon us, they finally opened their heart up and realized that we weren't in a cult, but we were in God's grace. They themselves received Christ as Savior. And by the way, I had the privilege of preaching my mother's funeral, my father's funeral, and my mother-in-law's funeral. Amen. Preaching a celebration, not a grieving time, but a celebration. And I believe it was all based on this. We were willing to give of ourselves. And by the way, my son Matt preached Shelley's father's funeral last January. Born again on his way to heaven. It wouldn't have happened had we not decided to live for him, to be a conduit for God's blessings. God's blessings. I want to give one other illustration. I have 3 points here that I could alliterate to, but giving with a willing heart. Every man according to his purpose, as the heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, but for God loveth the cheerful giver. Give with a thankful heart. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works for the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Give with an expectant, 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. We've given and we've given and we've given. And God has blessed our ministry. I'll bring it closer to home. There's a man in Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska. He came up to me after I preached a message. He says, Tom, I need to meet with you tomorrow morning for breakfast. I didn't know anything about it, had no idea what was going on. He sat down with me and he says, I'm the chairman of the board of a corporation here in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I want to give you a testimony. Our corporation tithes off its gross income. Our corporation supports missionaries from its own coffers. That doesn't exclude us as individuals that are in Bible-believing churches. We give our tithes and offerings as well. That business has literally just been swamped with blessings as he's determined what he was going to do with his life and his business that he founded. It's become a multi successful business in the northern part of Alaska. All he's been allowed himself to be is a funnel. That's all God wants us to be. Do you hear what I'm saying, folks? If we'll just open up and understand that it's not our life anymore, but it's him. It's him. Amen? And we'll just let him have complete ownership of us. Our responsibility is not giving and putting money in the plate. Our responsibility is getting in that plate and let God take care of the rest. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Some of you are old timers here. Some of you folks were a tremendous encouragement to me personally and my wife. and our children while I was going to Bible college here. We'll never forget the things that you did for us. Some of you are new. Maybe this is all brand new to you. But get on the ground floor of God's blessings now. Be a giver, not a taker, but a giver. This world is filled with takers. This world needs to be filled with givers. Giving God's grace. Giving God's grace.